preparation for the lesson from Baal HaSulam's article, The Freedom. When the children of Israel were rewarded with complete vikut on the holy occasion, their vessels of reception were completely emptied of any worldly possessions, and they were cleaved unto him in equivalent of form. This means that they did not have any desire for any self-possession, but only to the extent that they could bestow contentment, so their Maker would delight in them. And since their will to receive had clothed in an image of that object, it had clothed in it and bonded with it into complete oneness. Therefore, they were certainly liberated from the angel of death, for death is necessarily an absence and negation of the existence of a certain object, but only while there is a spark that wishes to exist for its own pleasure, it is possible to say about it that that spark does not exist because it has become absent and died. However, if there is no spark in man, but all the sparks of his essence clothe in bestowal of contentment upon their Maker, then it is neither absent nor dead. For even when the body is annulled, it is only annulled with respect to self-gratification, in which the will to receive is dressed and can only exist in it. However, when he achieves the aim of creation and the Creator receives pleasure from him, since his will is done, man's essence, which clothes in his contentment, is granted complete eternity, like him. Thus, he has been rewarded with freedom from the angel of death. We need to bring the chisaron, the kli, the lack, the desire to bestow contentment, to bestow. We can bring this desire from our own place, from our own state, only in one form. Wanting to connect to the others, wanting to be included with the others' desires, and bringing the others' desires to fulfillment by the Creator. That is the degree of Bina, the degree of faith, the degree of bestowal. That's how it works with its Gar and with its Sat. With its Gar, it's included of the lower ones. With its Sat, it can then reach the Creator. We need to take upon ourselves this form. Malchut has to take the form of Bina. Therefore, if we ourselves unite, come out of ourselves to connection in the groups of ten, say, and if by that each one processes his self, egoistic self, and is included from the others, by that, he already comes out of himself, meaning he already has this point of birth on his own behalf. But how will he be born? Out of what desire? Of course not from his own desire. We think, like, yeah, when will I get this conception? When will I be born? Where will I have this spark or advance more and so on? It is all on counting on taking the desires from the achap, from the others. The fact that I annul myself in the group, that's just annulment. Fine, so I'm like Gar de Bina. I don't need a thing. I'm in the state of mutual bestowal. But how can one give contentment to the Creator? How can one discover his lights in the vessels of reception? We're talking about revelation of the light of Chokhmah. How? We have to turn to to the externals, we have to connect to the public. In my people I dwell. And that is how we discover the correct kli for the revelation of the Creator. You need to agree with this. You need to live with it. You need to understand that specifically that is what brings me to a special, to a unique state. How is it unique? It is by letting go completely of myself. How can I let go of myself? As he writes, people of Israel who have been rewarded with adhesion at Mount Sinai, their vessels of reception, was completely emptied of any worldly possession, and they were cleaved unto him in equivalence of form. This means that they did not have any desire for any self-possession, but only to the extent that they could bestow contentment, so their Maker would delight in them. Each and every desire has its answer. Question from a student. The greater my desire, the greater contentment I give the Creator.
It depends on what kind of a deficiency, desire. Just any desire is... A desire is a force. How do you use it?
No.
And?
Ray's question from Florida. Is it necessary to feel the evil inclination in order to experience the spice of the Torah?
What else will you need this spice for if you don't feel the sting? How can you do it without determining what is evil? I don't think that we know what is evil. Everyone has a different thought. We have to identify the evil the way it's evil in the eyes of the Creator. He says, I created the evil inclination. How do you know what is that evil inclination in his eyes that he created? Maybe that's something good in my eyes or something I don't even identify. He says, I created the evil inclination. Okay, so what is it? It isn't... It's not clear. So then, if I identify what is that evil inclination that he refers to, then I can come to identify the spice of Torah that he means. Because regarding the evil inclination, everyone is mistaken. You think I'm an evil inclination, I think you are. And the same with each and every one. That's one thing. On the other hand, the spice of Torah, okay, Torah, you know. You have millions of people, billions of people who know what the Torah or is. Now start comparing them and you'll see that no one thinks the same as the other. After two or three questions, you'll ask, you'll see that they just lose the ground beneath them. Therefore, what it says, I created the evil inclination and the spice of Torah for it, are things that are totally vague. We don't understand what they mean. So all those books that we read, in general, from the Pentateuch, from the Bible, to the everything that people wrote about the Torah, people who are considered sages of the Torah, people who are actually wise disciples, people who receive the light of wisdom from the Creator, and as a result, they write their advice to us. So what they write, we read incorrectly. We interpret it based on our own mind, and the reason of Torah is opposite to the reason of landlords, which means as long as a person is egoist, he he's an egoist. He doesn't understand what the Torah says. That's called the reason of Torah, meaning what it says, what it talks about is opposite to the landlord, the one who's still immersed in his ego. So he also doesn't understand that oppositeness. And therefore, that's how it is. Scott from England.
How can a person find his need to reveal the evil inclination?
If he has a point in the heart which starts pulling him towards the source of life, that he wants to know what is he living for, what is the point in life, and it's very important to him, not some philosophy or some profits in this world, such as money, honor, power, knowledge, not even knowledge, but he wants to go into this. He wants to be familiar with this. And it's important to him not because of knowledge, the ability to rule all kinds of systems. Rather, it's an inner demand. You know, it writes to the point that I can't sleep. What can I do? So if a person has that kind of spiritual gene called the point in the heart, then he has a chance. If he comes to the right group, the right teacher, and actualizes himself, that's usually is the hurdle, so the obstacle. So if he implements himself, actualizes himself correctly, he starts understanding what is the evil inclination and possibly what may be the good inclination as opposed to it. And that there has to be some force that corrects him from good, from bad to good. And that is called Torah. And the Torah doesn't say anything else. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't give you wisdom. It transforms the evil inclination to the good inclination. And that's called the healing for every flesh. And that's it. And the condition for receiving the Torah, we also know, as one man in one heart, the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator, and so forth. These are the conditions for the Torah. There's nothing else here. Nothing besides the ego of the person, and not just his personal ego, meaning with respect to himself. Rather, his egoism towards others. I want to be better off. I don't just want to be better off. I want to be better off at the expense of others. And so forth.
Moshe from Mexico is asking, in most cases, revelation of the evil brings to suffering and pain. How can you still be happy in such times?
It depends on what's important. It depends on what's important. If I know that tomorrow I have an operation, and that operation will get me rid of a huge trouble, that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the operation. I live the day that's after when I'm healthy. So it all depends on the importance of the goal. There's no plain pain. It's completely. It all depends on the level of adhesion with the goal, of sticking to the goal.
Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, when is a person rewarded with permanent recognition of evil?
Recognition of evil in permanency is on the condition that he is really in the environment using, well, when he uses correctly what he's given. But he doesn't think about recognition of evil. He thinks about how do I come to bestow, to bring contentment to the Creator, through the created beings to the Creator. How do I achieve that? Then on the way, as you are constantly asking, basically asking, he starts discovering the evil inclination, which becomes gradually clarified to him. All the degrees of the left line appear to him, from here to Malchut of Ein Sof.
Pasha from Moscow is asking, is falling in recognizing evil, does that come from outside, from the group, or is that born in man according to plan? Recognition of evil, does that come from the outside, from the group, or is it something that develops in person according to plan?
Recognition of evil appears within the person according to his level of development. But when will be determined by his own efforts. Okay. No more questions. Okay, yes.
I'm interested here in a specific point. On page 502, when he reached this state in action, and he needed the Torah, then ascends into sense, hate, love. Where is my point that I grasp onto?
Adhesion with the Rav, adhesion with the group, adhesion with the study, adhesion with dissemination, adhesion with your group of 10. Only adhesion with what's outside of you. Only they can carry you higher.
I sometimes feel that this adhesion isn't enough.
Your adhesion is insufficient.
I don't know if adhesion, that this point of once loving them, once hating them, there's no middle point. Where's the actual point of grip that you can cling to? Where is it?
Try not to feel yourself, but feel them in and of themselves. Come out of yourself, to detach yourself.
And what does a person add to adhesion every time?
Adhesion with the group, adhesion with the Rav, adhesion with
clear,
your 10,
okay.
And with dissemination and with the study. What else do you want?
No, that's not what I'm asking.
What?
What does he have to adhere to? That's clear. I'm asking, once he's already adhered, how can he add adhesion every time?
That all of those that I just counted, those five elements, let's say, they become pleasant and smarter and more prettier to you in your eyes. It's like Bar Sulam says in the revelation and concealment of the Creator, that you're fond of these people, and it's good for you to be next to them, and so on. And all the rest are just filthy and wicked, and you don't want to breathe the same air they breathe. And that's it. Keep adding on that direction. Simple things. And it's something that develops in your emotion. Yes.
Good morning. You said before that the Torah does not bring chokhmah, but it inverts the evil inclination to the good inclination. So does that mean that chokhmah was formed through the ego?
The Torah brings you a correction. First of all, the Torah is called the general light that creates everything. That general light reveals the kli as evil first, then it provides the kli with correction, adding the intention to bestow instead of the intention to receive. And that means the benefits to others, first others, then the Creator, and then it fulfills the kli, the corrected kli. That the kli that becomes corrected and fulfilled is filled with chasadim and chokhmah. The light of chokhmah that fulfills the kli brings the kli the entire understanding and feeling.
Yes, because it says, believe the wisdom in the nations, but Torah don't believe in them.
No, that's a different type of wisdom. There's the wisdom of Torah, and the wisdom of Torah is the light, and the regular wisdom is simply the knowledge that you that there is. You see that the nations of the world are not any less smarter than Israel. It's not only because we possess in our nature foundations of being a collective and towards spirituality, there seems to be some replication of it in corporeal success. However, I see these things as obstacles that add to our ego, to our will to receive, so that we will recognize the evil in it furthermore. When a person succeeds in corporeality, it's a bad sign. It's actually an obstacle.
We're already in our third article from the introduction to the Book of Zohar. We had the roses, then the flower buds, and now the article about the letters. Or not letters, who created this? That we're studying something very important here, something very special. From the world of Ein Sof, we have the cascading of the Paltzufim, of the degrees, that all of them are the degrees of diminishing the light. And in them, the light organizes itself in all kinds of clothings that are so correct for each other that even the lower ones and shattered ones will be able to be in some kind of connection. That this connection will be through Mekifim, the surrounding lights, because they are the lights that reform. There's no direct connection between the light and the Kli. Even in the smallest measure, when the light just comes to the little spark, and the Kli just has the purest of youth. And even though between them can be any connection, any contact, because they're opposite from each other. A plus and a minus, whatever, no matter how you want to do it, even if it's a positron and an electron, which are the smallest charges, particles, they're opposites. And that's why the contact between them can only be through a special system. A special, very special system, which is called the world of Abiyah. The world of Adam Kadmon organizes the light of Ein Sof and the vessel of Ein Sof. You have to know these things. See, this is a general system. Without this, you can't do. So please open your eyes and ears a bit more. The world of Adam Kadmon, all it does is organize the light of Ein Sof in the Kli of Ein Sof, which there were no limitations. It was all round and that's it. So it starts organizing it according to the Masach. It takes the light of Ein Sof and the Kli of Ein Sof and starts organizing them that there will be a Masach between them and according to the relations between the light and the vessel. In Ein Sof there wasn't. It was just infinite desire, so infinite fulfillment without any restrictions, no attitude towards what or who, no conditions. That's why it's called Ein Sof, that there aren't any conditions. Here, you want, take. It's not according to measurements, big or small, that we usually say Ein Sof. Ein Sof means that there's no conditions. And in the world of Adam Kadmon, there is a clear condition, only in according to the equivalence between the lights and vessels, right? The law of equivalence of form, only according to that law now, we have a structure of the world of Adam Kadmon. And according to that, we have, according to the root in Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, the sermons in the world of Ein Sof. So here we have Keta Chochma Bina Zeran Bin Malchut and Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Echida in the opposite value of lights and vessels because of the Masach, that they're opposite between them. And that's how it's organized by the Masach. Meaning, what does Olam Kadmon actually do? Olam Adam Kadmon doesn't make any separation. It doesn't diminish the lights. It only organizes them according to the Masach. That's it. All of the Kli of Ein Sof takes it with the Masach that he could have upon it, and it organizes it to be equivalent to the world of Ein Sof. And that's how the world of Adam Kadmon is made, in those 5 degrees. Meaning, after the world of Adam Kadmon, we don't have any diminishing of the lights. By the way, that's why we say that the Rosh of Atzilut is called Ein Sof also. Atik Arich Anpin, we say that that's Ein Sof. Gemara Tikun is Gar of Atik, Rosh of Atik, that's Gemara Tikun. That degree. Because above that, there's no reason to ascend, because everything is there. The whole thing from above to below to Rosh of Atik is just organizing lights and vessels according to Masachim. And if I acquire those Masachim, so for me to be in Rosh de Atik or to be in really Ein Sof is the same thing. There's a question here that you can ask, yeah, but anyway, so to ascend to 5 more degrees of Adam Kadmon, because we count 125 degrees according to 5 Paltzufim, Sfirot, and Olamot, right, but that doesn't, the word of Adam Kadmon doesn't add any addition of separations, but let's say it adds some qualities. We'll talk about it. It's a very delicate thing here. But that keter is what we attain later. The Gemara Tikkun on our side is Rosh de Atzilut. Gemara Tikkun after Rav Pali Mekabtzev, that is really ascending above Ak. Let's go on. So the world of Atzilut, which everything is in it, and it is built in order to correct the creature that was created in the opposite way from the Creator, a desire to receive and a desire to bestow, they're opposite from each other. How does Olam Atzilut work? We, from Dalet Bchino Dor Yashar, 4 phases of direct light, we actually learned that Bina makes the Malchut by the fact that she wanted to resemble the Creator. If she didn't want to resemble the Creator, everything would have ended in Bina. That's it. Simple. Keter, Chochma, and Bina. No need for more than that. Keter, we have the still, the inanimate, the beginning of the creation. In Chochmah, we have the vegetative, and in Bina, we have the animate. Everything ended, but because Bina wanted to be to resemble the Creator, so she brought out Zeranpin and Malchut, that in that action, Bina, she herself, she resembles the Creator, because in Bina itself, in the result from below to above, she has the force to bestow, but that's not enough. In order to bestow, you need to receive in order to bestow. To bestow by herself, what can she bestow? She doesn't have anything to bestow. So she has to discover deficiency of her own from the Creator, meaning the desire to receive from Malchut Ein Sof that comes from the Bina. Where does it come from? It comes from the fact that Bina wants to bestow. And then she has to discover the most desire to receive the biggest that she can. So she goes and she opens herself from receiving without any limitations. What does that mean? As much as she wants to bestow. That's, now she has to develop a vessel to receive, an appetite. Meaning, Malchut Ein Sof, why is it sacred? Because the desire in it, even though it's the greatest desire to receive, where does it come from? It comes from the beginning. It came from the Bina, that with full awareness, she knows that she's developing a desire to receive. Because without that desire to receive, she will never be able to bestow. That's why it's all sanctity, it's advikut. We say there it's him and the name is one, the Kli and the Ol are equal, and so on. Now maybe a bit, give you a bit more feeling in this. Why is Malchut Ein Sof is all like that? Well, then Bina, when she develops a desire, that huge desire, just to receive everything, everything, what does she discover? That finally she discovers that she is completely wanting to bestow. That's why she wants to receive everything. And then she discovers, in the end of the desire to receive, that there's a difference between her and the Creator, and that He was the first. Oh, we still need to scrutinize what the busha, the shame, is that reveals. Because here, the real true distance is revealed, that really from the Creator, you can't heal it, and you can't be a creation if not to discover Him. And that distance we call shame. That gap. Now, I don't want to take the whole Zohar lesson on this, but so that's why the restriction happened, the tzimtzum, not on the desire to receive that Bina developed, but specifically on that discernment that came at the end, that just like came out of the fact that their desire to receive was completely sacred, because the kavanah in order to the bestow came from Bina, the desire to receive happened from Malchut, and Bina and Malchut were tied together. You hear this? Bchinat Bet, that has made the Bchinat Dalet. Dalet is a complete result from Bet. They came together. And suddenly, in Bchinat Dalet, something happened outside of what Bina has done. Something developed on her own. And that is called shame. And this discernment had no coverage of the intention to bestow. Is that clear? Are you looking at me correctly, or are you lying to me? Is that clear? No. Okay. Okay. First thing, Keter. Now Chochmah is receiving. Does it want to receive? Bina. By the fact that she doesn't want to receive, all she feels is that she doesn't want to receive. Where's the dvikut? Where's the unity? Where's the bestow? She wants to bestow, right? Wants to bestow. But can't. She can't. And what will she bestow? What will she give? Where is the action of bestow here? So she develops Zeranpin and Malchut. Malchut is a desire to receive. If the desire to bestow from the Bina and the desire to receive of the Malchut connect together, so it's obvious that Malchut, if she receives anything, she receives it because they are tied together, Malchut and Bina. Yeah? Right? Well, let's say not from here, but from Zad de Bina. From the middle, yeah. They're tied together. So it's obvious that it's the same structure. Zad de Bina, Zeranpin and Malchut is the same structure. Yeah? And then it's called receiving in order to bestow, because they're working together. It's the same subject. Because Zon is a result of the Bina. Bina is in control. Even Garde Bina, that doesn't want to receive anything, that starts feeling here in this border, in this barrier, in the middle of Tiferet, Klipat Noga, the freedom of choice. She decides and determines that everything that she's going to do now is justify the creation, bestow to the Creator. What's that point of choice called? That decides for everybody for the scale of merit. This is the world. This whole achap is the world. Right? And then they are together. And now listen. When they do that, everything becomes beautiful and nice. Dvekut, as it said, Malchut Avein Sof. Him and his name is one. What else can you do? But what can you do at the end? At the end, what came out? Something that was never there before. That was never felt, was never revealed. That one thing is the Yesod, the foundation of the creature. Upon it, the shame is revealed. That's why they say that the shame is like the special gift for very high souls, especially. And because of that, the Tzimtzum was done in order to uproot this thing. That's the whole deal. That's what we have to correct. Belongs. This is what belongs to the correction. Okay? This point, which comes from after the complete dvikut of the Creator in the creature, but when the Creator is in the creature, everything becomes in development from above to below. That's why we can't continue the corrections unless they are from below to above, from the side of this point. Well, that's enough. What did I want to say? First of all, the fact that Ozen Chotem Peh, it's all one structure. It all belongs to Bina, she takes care of it. That Bina and Malchut are connected together, that you can't tell them apart. And that comes from four phases of direct light. The fact that is implemented in Tzimtzum Bet, in Nekudot, the Sag, that's just a result when Bina descended to Malchut and wanted to fulfill it. But truly, this connection is because what we can say about Malchut, that she's always in the stomach of the Bina. Okay? Well, that's enough. In little portions, we're going to keep going and... Letter 10.
Adam 10. From the edge of the heaven, Mi is the edge of the heaven above, Yesut. Ma is the edge of the heaven below, Malchut. This is what Yaakov, Zer Anpin, inherited, fastening from end to end, from the first end, Mi, to the last end, Ma.
Because Zer Anpin connects Bina and Malchut. That's his role, his main role. What does it mean, connects? Because Malchut, when she resembles the Zer Anpin, she is equal to the Bina. Yes.
As it stands in the middle between Yesut and Malchut.
In the Menor, it means that it has qualities, not a distance, right? That there's qualities of Bina and of Malchut that includes both. Where is it? His Tiferet is the Bina. His Netzach and Hod is his Zer Anpin and Malchut that's in him, inside Zer Anpin.
This is why it is written, who created these? Yesut, me, created Zer Anpin and Malchut, Ele, these. Explanation. He should have written, from the beginning of heaven to the end of heaven. So why does he say from edge to edge, from end to end? It was said, from me, the edge of the heaven above, Yesut, poised for a question. He closes from Chazeh to Tabur de Arich Anpin.
And it's called me.
Ma, the Nukva from prior to raising man, is the end of all the degrees from Chazeh de Zer Anpin and below. Between them stands Yaakov, Zer Anpin, who begins to clothe from the place of Tabor, the Arich Anpin, through the Nukva. And then he fastens from the end of Mi to the end of Ma. Since the Mi ends at Tabor, the Arich Anpin. And there Yaakov begins.
Because Yesut is closed from the Chazeh till the Tabur of Arich Anpin. Right? Because above the Peh till the Chazeh is where Abba Ve'ima are.
And the Nukva, Ma, stands at his end. However,
at the end of Arich Anpin, right adjacent to the Parsa.
However, the writing speaks of after the extension of Mochin to the Zon. As it is written, indeed ask now concerning the first days, which then the Zon rise and receive the Mochin de Yeshut, called first days. At that time, the edge of the heaven below, Ma, the Nukva, rose and clothed the edge of the heaven above, Mi, Yesut, and both
Malchut sense to Bina.
And both are in the very same place.
In Zad de Bina.
This is why it is written, from the edge to the edge. Since now, both of them have become one edge of the heaven.
The upper one.
Since Zer Anpin receives the first days, which are Vak from Israel, Saba, Chagat Nehi. And the Nukva takes the Tvuna, Malchut de Bina, which is now at the edge of Zer Anpin, called heaven. However, with respect to what preceded the Mochin, she is regarded as the head of the heaven. And there is another meaning.
Wait, up to here. Is this clear or not? In other words, it's very simple. Malchut raises the Bina. Didn't say anything except for that. Zohar, as usual, confuses us in all kinds of terms, different names. Why? In order to bring us into feel the subject. And all you have to do is just open all your openings. That whatever comes through me will come, like children. They don't understand, but they're open. How do they absorb everything? Through all the holes in their head. Eyes, ears, mouth, nose, doesn't matter. Just let everything come in. That's what we have to do. Not to plug ourselves with their wisdom and understanding. Whatever comes in, let it come in. That's how you study. That's called the wisdom of the Torah. It only comes in with an open heart. That's it. The smart one doesn't learn. You don't agree? Give him a mic. Well, I like it when people don't agree. Then there's something to scrutinize.
I don't understand. It's not that I disagree. Now, the shame.
No. We're not talking about that now. I'm sorry. You're going to confuse everybody. Give it to the guy behind you.
On what depends my ability to open myself like that, as you have said?
Be naive. Less of your brain. Less of your pride. That's more correct. Why can a child absorb everything? He's not proud. Yeah, I'm a little one. That's it. What you're doing for me is sacred. I don't know what you're doing, but I want it to. Like that. That's why I can learn.
How can I have less of a mind and less of a pride?
That's a problem. Believe me, it's a problem. Maybe exercises, I don't know, it's... The struggle with pride is through the whole path. It's things that are very difficult. Just like they write that we need to lower ourselves towards the friends, subdue ourselves. But here also, when you start doing it, you have to be careful that are you in that not even more proud? Look how humble I am. There's a lot of... But that's a matter of the degree you're in. Anyway, whoever does it in action, in a systematic way, in a steady action, determined, then it starts working. And later on, he lowers himself towards the one who lowered himself. Well, as opposed to the pride that keeps showing up, you lower yourself toward that pride. And those are the degrees. Maybe I can say don't know, I could never say it before, let's see. Because the desire to receive in every degree is the exact same desire to receive. The aviut isn't a desire to receive. The aviut is... No, I can't. You're going to get confused. The aviut is the same measure of pride that I...
No.
No. I don't want to. I guess it's too early. Yes.
A question of a student. On the one hand, you direct us to study innocently, naively, and on the other hand, you keep loading us with explanations. Why aren't we just reading and that's it?
Well, what did I have? Bina and Malchut, that's above and that's below? I drew a few drawings.
It's
the same drawing. That you do have to feel it. You have to hold it in front of your eyes for now. Until man doesn't have these things in his feeling, he has to depict this thing for him, at least this drawing. No other choice. Kabbalists use it in a lot of books. All kinds of drawings, circles, lines, because it's a language, it's a short language. And then to those circles and lines and up and down, I add the sermons to that. What does it mean to me? When I say about someone that he's high, it doesn't mean that he's 2 meters and I'm 1 meter. I'm talking about the sermons. Same thing here. That's why a drawing, the wisdom of Kabbalah is a science, and we're drawing in it, and we even give formulas. What's gematria? Gematria is also a drawing. Every letter is a drawing, a sign. And in those signs, I'm drawing chokhmah, chasadim, up and down, left and right. It's a drawing. A letter is a drawing. And not a sum, a few letters together, the combination, that it's like a movie. It's like a movie. It's not one frame. Every letter is one frame. Every letter explains a certain state. Oh, ah, wow. You know, that's how I go through all the letters. So why are you saying that all these things talk about the inner feeling, the inner state of the person? It can be in a drawing, it can be in letters, it can be in words, it can be in music and whatnot. Or together with everything.
Meaning the patriarchs are the first degree, the purest degree, where the desire to receive is still very small. This is why they didn't have to overcome the true evil wasn't revealed yet. It was revealed, but the correction wasn't separating themselves from the evil. They shouldn't have scrutinized the evil. It was easy to cast from this evil. Abraham, Ishmael, Yitzchak, Esav, and so on. Meaning things were pretty simple. Jacob and Esav. All the states were simple, they were clean, they were pure, small lights of you to the Shorish. This is why to fulfill the whole of Torah. What is the whole of Torah? Is love thy friend as thyself, and to reveal within it and love the Creator thy God. And it was easy because there was a pure of Yut. All the problems weren't revealed yet. And this is why. And then this merit of the patriarchs, meaning this network in Aviyut the Shorish, was about to correct the first Aviyut, Aviyut Aleph. This is the meaning of the merit of their ancestral merit was reflected upon them. And when we correct of Yud Shoresh, we can now correct of Yud Aleph. This is the meaning of this ancestral merit. And now, this degree of the patriarchs allows the sons to correct themselves, and so on. That's how we stand on the corrections that are the ones who preceded us made. That's how we study in the study of Tensfirot and tests how all these sages from the Talmud, for example, made additional corrections which help us. For example, the light that reforms. That since their times and onwards, we need the light that reforms. Instead of what was until then, it was enough, relatively enough, to eat a piece of bread, drink water, sleep on the floor, and engage in the Torah. They still had to have the Torah, but alongside with corporeal, physical torments, because they belong, they're related to Yud Shoresh Aleph and slightly of Yud Bet, because we know that in Binah there are parts, different parts. But Shoresh Aleph and Gar Debet. Whereas, starting from the exile onwards, we start to intermingle with the Achap, with the nations of the world, then there, we're already in need of corrections that will be performed by the light that reforms. This is why they made such a correction. First of all, we won't need any torments. And on the other hand, only the light that reforms, that comes through the corrections they've made in the general network, which come to us. And then we are capable of correcting ourselves.
What correction is done by the light that reforms? What does it do? What action? What does it bring? What does it correct?
The light that reforms, it takes off the stony heart. And instead of it, instead of Malchut, the Malchut brings Malchut the Bina. It whitens, clarifies the Sefirot. In its luminance, it arranges the Sefirot into a structure of Kav, of a line, that they understand what is important and what is less important. And the light that forms arranges these Sefirot according to lines that understand what is Chasadim and Chokhmah, right and left. The light that forms arranges the lower with respect to the upper, so that the lower will be able to understand what is the Achap of the upper, so that it will be able to cling to it, and especially in the Galgalat HaVe'enayim of the lower. It brings to the lower different impressions and excitements and clarifications that out of which the lower starts to enter into impregnation. When he starts to identify the upper and to identify the upper as the upper in each and everything, because he doesn't want to attain a thing as a result of this acquaintance, but to be incorporated within the upper, above reason, above one's emotions, above one's sensations. Actually, conversely to his emotions and understanding, he wants to incorporate within the upper. That's the meaning of being entering into conception. That's all done by the light that reforms. And the light that reforms does much more actions, but that's in general lines. It just seems to me that in the Eliel's question, there's another hidden question, which is, upon whom am I dependent? Do I depend on someone in my advancement? Upon whom? If the answer is yes.
That's indeed a problem. However, we need to discover who do I depend on. For the time being, I don't discover it. Later, even if I discover, according to all kinds of phenomena that I feel are going through me, that I depend on someone, but that someone is unidentified.
So again, I do all kinds of calculations with him, but sometimes yes, sometimes not, but due to the lack of his revelation. Later, maybe I reach a state where I want you to be revealed. Not that you will be revealed so I get something out of it, but simply that otherwise I won't be Adam, I won't be human. I want to resemble you. I have to. Then the Creator is revealed in some form, and He changes me. He gives me the light that reforms. And then I discover within me, suddenly, the quality of bestowal, love of others. Suddenly I understand others. Suddenly I love them. This is called the revelation of the Creator. What is the Creator if not love and bestowal? You hear me? Brother, what else? This is what will be revealed. So, in what is he revealed? He's revealed in a light of bestowal, the force of bestowal within me. What is within me, within my will to receive, that wants to make out of itself the bestower, the intention to bestow. Yes?
So if you already said that it's in the right direction, I'll continue the question. We're saying that we develop our environment within the ten. The group of tens is our environment. The ten are physical friends.
Yes.
And as you just told us about the state that you undergo, friends also undergo different states. And one time they're this way, the other time they're that way. When do I depend upon them and when I don't?
Always. You depend on them 100%.
Yes, but some of the time they're in a state in which I don't know what.
So that also projects on you, and also then you don't know what's going on. Where do you think that you have thoughts from? You have decided for yourself, determined, that this is the group. That's it. From here onwards, you depend on them. 100%. Now, this is your kli. Don't think that you can detach from them. Even if you kill them, you can't detach from them. That's it. You decided. You have a group of ten. We're done. We are done. That's it. You can't get out. Even death shall not do us apart. Will not separate us. You're smiling. This is what is happening. I'm telling you seriously. Take that, because this is how it is sealed, imprinted. They receive this document, and that's it. This certificate. Now you can change it. Now, if you get along with them, yeah, you'll get along. And if you don't, you don't. Meaning your spiritual life and also the corporeal ones, accordingly there will be a projection on corporeality, they now depend on your success with the group. Yes?
Okay, now I depend on them, meaning I depend also upon their states.
Everything.
But I don't know, excuse me, which friend is found in which state and when.
It doesn't matter. Just always give them the importance of the goal. Don't enter him. Just bring them the importance of the goal. There's nothing other than that that you need to work on. Always, you know, tickle him. That he would always be, you know, this importance of the goal will always be in the air. Well, Danny, you're such a poor guy there, standing in the corner.
I'm also, like Eyal, I'm engaged with that for the past few days. Is the upper system built in such a way that in order to reach in a correction, those 600,000 parts have to awaken to come to the path and connect between them?
I'll tell you as if the others are not hearing us. The moment that you reach states in which you need 600,000, you find them. They appear like that. They are there before you. It doesn't matter. Just accept that. Everything is ready for the final meal. The whale is already all
really